gentlemen, Ed Bozeman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and when they had appointed him a day, they came to him into his lodging in great number, to whom he expounded the matter, testifying the kingdom of God and persuading them concerning Jesus. It is written, well spake the Holy Spirit through Isaiah the prophet unto your father, saying, go thou unto this people and say, by hearing ye shall hear and shall in no wise understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall in no wise perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart. When we were escaped, we knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarians showed us no common kindness, for they kindled a fire, and received us all because of the present rain and because of the cold. But when Paul gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out by reason of the heat, and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous creature hanging from his hand, they said one to another, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped from the sea, yet justice hath not suffered to live. When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. When by the gift of his infinite grace, I am accorded in heaven a place, just to be there and to look on his face, will through the ages be glory for me. All friends will be there I have loved long ago. Joy like a river around me will flow. Yet just a smile from my Savior I know will through the ages be glory for me. Glory for me. Glory for me. When by his grace I shall look on his face, that will be glory for me.
For God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message entitled, Shake Off the Devil. Acts 19, the Apostle Paul said, I must also see Rome. Acts 23, the Lord said, so must thou also bear witness at Rome. Acts 26, an angel said, fear not, Paul, thou must stand before Caesar. Acts 28, Luke informs us, and so we came to Rome. Acts chapter 28 tells us how he got there. He was sent as a prisoner. And so we find him here in Acts 28 on the way, a victim of shipwreck. 276 survivors of the shipwreck stood on the beach on the island of Melita, soaked to the skin from swimming ashore and shivering in the rain. And the barbarians showed them kindness, for they kindled a fire and received them all. These barbarians had no idea that millions of people would read of their act of kindness for the next 2,000 years, because they kindled a fire for victims of shipwreck. Ladies and gentlemen, we also need to kindle fires of kindness today for the victims of spiritual shipwreck. One fire we can kindle that will warm and the chilled and frozen hearts is in Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, the apostles were gathered together, and the Holy Spirit descended out of heaven, and tongues like as of fire set on the heads of the apostles. Those tongues of fire made it possible for them to preach the word of God as the Spirit gave them utterance. And we today kindle a fire every week on this broadcast by preaching the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The preaching of the gospel on the day of Pentecost will still set people's hearts on fire, even if their wood is wet. If we preach like Jeremiah in chapter 20 when he said, "But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones." We need preachers today who will preach with fire in their hearts. Now when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out by reason of the heat and fastened on his hand. You can always depend on it. The preaching of the cross will always make it hot for the devil, and he will find a way to foul it up with a dose of poison. Immunity to poisonous snake bite was one of the signs given the apostles in the Great Commission. And when the barbarians saw the venomous creature hanging from his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped from the sea, yet justice hath not suffered him to live." The barbarians believed, when a bad thing happens to a person, he is getting paid back for some wrong he did in the past. However, it may seem a strange commentary on the barbarians, who had never heard of the Bible and were not Christians, and yet evidently had some kind of conscience and feeling of judgment that will come to all men because of sin. By natural instinct, like all men, they believe what Paul would say later on in Hebrews 9:27. "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment." And so they thought, since Paul was in custody, he, being a murderer, was getting his just deserts. He would surely swell up and drop dead. Today, we live in what could be called a society without a conscience. Many feel no sense of wrongdoing at all. Drive-by shooting, all manner of hideous murders being committed, the criminal having no feeling of remorse whatever. Paul speaks of these days when he tells Timothy about the character of men in the last days, in 1 Timothy 4. "For the Spirit saith expressly that in latter times shall come, and many shall come and fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, through the hypocrisy of men that speak lies, branded in their conscience as with a hot iron." Sometimes it seems futile to preach the message of Christ to a world today whose conscience has been seared with a hot iron. Few and far between are those who are persuaded. Before World War II, someone asked President Roosevelt why he did not talk to Hitler and Mussolini and try to get them to get off that collision course to the war. His reply was that talking to them was like talking to a couple of mad dogs. That strikes a responsive chord in me as we remember the words of Paul again in 2 Timothy 4. "But know this, that in the last days grievous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of self, boastful, haughty, railers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, without self-control, fierce, no lovers of good, traitors, headstrong, puffed up, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." Ladies and gentlemen, in a world gone mad over sports, violent movies, drug addictions, altered lifestyles and sex, passing out condoms to school children, murder by abortion, drive-by shootings, child abuse, and child abductions, I cannot help but feel that as far as the world in general is concerned, my message from week to week is preached for the benefit of a society of mad dogs who probably are not listening anyway. The barbarians were surprised when Paul shook off the creature into the fire and took no harm. Some today would accuse Paul of cruelty to dumb animals. I have read of one state where it is a crime to catch a rat in a trap. They say more humane measures should be taken. Some people today are more humane about killing a rat in a trap than they are about killing a baby in the womb. It is needful to mention these barbarians were called barbarians because they did not speak Greek, which was the language of the people at that time. Today we have more sophisticated barbarians. The modern-day barbarians are those who will neither read, hear, nor understand the Word of God. Signs of the times. Paul shook off the creature into the fire and took no harm. Ladies and gentlemen, did a poisonous snake ever fasten itself on your hand? Did you ever shake him off? The devil is called the old serpent, the devil and Satan. Shake off the creature into the fire. I can see that the serpent has fastened himself to many a hand, as I notice how their fingers are stained brown. The serpent has fastened himself on their hand, and it is hard, a hard habit to shake off. Shake him off into the fire. The old serpent fastens himself to the hand of the doctor who performs abortions. Shake him off. Shake off the creature into the fire. Obviously, the serpent has fastened himself on the hand of the person who sticks a needle in his arm. Shake him off. Shake off the creature into the fire. Many are the vipers that fasten themselves on the hand. There's the viper of indifference, the viper of prejudice, as well as the viper of unbelief. Shake him off. Shake off the serpent into the fire. The first person whose hand felt the bite of the serpent was Eve in the Garden of Eden. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Since we were not there, we could not tell her. Shake him off into the fire of hell. And so when Paul demonstrated his apostolic powers regarding the serpent and the healing of some sick, the barbarians showed them great kindness and helped them continue their trip to Rome. Luke says 3 months after the shipwreck, we set sail in a ship of Alexandria to complete the journey to Rome. Now here is a strange coincidence. The ship that was wrecked, according to the previous chapter, was also a ship of Alexandria. The first ship of Alexandria was wrecked, and the second ship of Alexandria brought them to Rome. Sometimes two people on the voyage of life have similar results. There is a poem that tells a story. One ship sails east, another sails west, by the selfsame winds that blow. 'Tis the set of the sail and not the gale that determines the way they go. Like the winds of the sea are the ways of time. As we journey on through life, 'tis the set of the soul that determines the goal, and not the calm or the strife. The big difference in one person and another is the fact that some have set their sails toward heaven, and some toward hell. Notice also the first ship of Alexandria weathered many days of violent storms and survived until they tried to beach the ship on the island of Melita. In a similar way, the old ship of Zion, the church, can weather all manner of storms and remain afloat until they get too close to the world. Is it not true today? There is not a lot of difference in the lifestyle of the world and many members of the church. Now, when the ship, arrived on the mainland, many of the Christians from Rome, hearing that Paul was coming, went out to meet him. They had heard of him and read his epistle to the Romans and were anxious to see him. Paul was glad to see them and took courage that he had so many friends at Rome. However, there's a sad note to their friendship. Paul would be 2 years in this first imprisonment at Rome, in his own rented house, awaiting trial with a soldier that guarded him. Paul refers to that trial before Nero in 2 Timothy 4. At my first defense, no one took my part, but all forsook me. May it not be laid to their account. It was easy to go on a little trip and greet Paul with a mini vacation, to greet him on his arrival. But at the trial, they were nowhere to be found. We all enjoy our fair-weather friends, but don't depend on them. A man one time told me, I'm on your side, but I'm not going to say anything. When you have friends like that, you don't need any enemies. However, Paul was not entirely alone. He said in the next verse, But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, that through me the gospel might be fully proclaimed, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And now, ladies and gentlemen, concerning those 2 years while awaiting trial upon his arrival in Rome, after 3 days he called together the chiefs of the Jews and told them of his arrival and explained why he was chained each day to a Roman soldier. The Apostle Paul was bound. But as he said in 2 Timothy, the word of God is not bound. It was while he awaited trial, chained to a soldier, that he wrote the epistles of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon, read by millions of people for the past 2,000 years. Yes, Paul was bound all right, but the word of God was not bound. By the way, this broadcast comes to you from a little spot in the road. It's hard to find, yet heard all over the world. It is still true. The word of God is not bound. The Jews were not concerned about that chain, but they did say they wanted to hear him concerning this sect that was everywhere spoken against. In that day, it seems that people looked upon the church as a sect. This is true today. Whenever people hear of the New Testament church, it is regarded as a sect. It is regarded as something that is not a part of the mainstream of Christianity. The real thing always seems odd. It was that way in the days of the apostles, and nothing has changed. Then when they appointed him a day, there were many who came to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded, testified, and persuaded concerning the kingdom of God from morning till evening. Paul preached unto them day after day, but what did he preach? Well, since he wrote Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, and Philemon, we have some idea of the things he included in his message. Just read those chapters and you'll find it. One of the areas he must have touched on was that marvelous passage he would write about to the Ephesians in the 4th chapter, about the program of the unity when he said, There is one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in you all. Surely he talked about these things to the people then as he talked about the church. One body, there's one church. Paul could remind them how he said of Christ in Colossians, He is the head of the body. Since a body can only have one head, there's only one church and one Lord, one hope. Christ is our only hope. If he should fail, there is no other hope. One Spirit. Jesus told the apostles, The Holy Spirit, when he's come, will guide you into all the truth. The Bible is the Word of God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. No other book can qualify as the Word of God. One faith. People ask sometimes, of what faith are you? There's only one faith. One baptism. The purpose of that baptism is the one mentioned in Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The method of that baptism is in Acts 8:38. They went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him, and they came up out of the water. One God and Father of all. The one God is easy to identify as the one who has only one begotten Son named Jesus. Another part of Paul's message is in Philippians 1. Surely he brought this out as he talked to the Jews that day from morning till night. And that is as we see the effect of his message on the Praetorian Guard in Philippians 1, when he said, "My bonds became manifest in Christ throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to all the rest. This group was like the secret service of the emperor. So as Paul taught and also wrote the epistle to the Ephesians, the guard each day heard about the Christian warfare. The soldier on the other end of the chain provided a good illustration of the Christian armor as Paul spoke of the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, and all the rest. Then when he mentioned the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, some of those soldiers got the point as they heard him day by day. In a period of 2 years, the constant changing of guards were bombarded with the gospel message from the Lord's most able evangelist. And it is most certainly true that his toll would have been taken because Paul would have taken advantage of it. The Praetorian Guard thought Paul was their prisoner, when in fact, they were his captive audiences. Paul may have been on one end of the chain, but the soldier was on the other end of the chain. And it is most reasonable to think that some of the members of the Praetorian Guard became soldiers of the cross. Here's another thing Paul must have included in his teaching in Philippians 4 that must have been mentioned. Two verses that, incidentally, my preacher wrote in my New Testament. He presented me on graduation from high school. I needed them in the days of the Great Depression and still depend on them now in this worldwide ministry. One verse said, "My God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." And the other was, "I can do all things in him that strengtheneth me." Then in Colossians there is advice from Paul, especially needed by that Roman audience and for us, about the best philosophy of life. Colossians 3, "Set your affections on things that are above and not on the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall ye also be manifested with him in glory." The results of all this teaching was the fact that some believed the things that were spoken, and some disbelieved. Isaiah speaks of this situation when he declared many years ago, as he referred to the Lord as a tried and true stone. Peter speaks of the Lord as a stone also, not as tried and true, but Peter speaks of him, as far as some is concerned, as a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. One way or the other, that's the way it is with every person who ever hears the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, to them, is either a tried and true stone or a rock of offense. So it is written. So let it be done. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard another God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at this same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bozeman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bozeman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Until next week at this same time, don't forget, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.